Okay, gotta start up. Episode 5, Ninja Blitzkrieg. Oh, I hate gypsies. Mentally, but not literally, the television priest is back on track. A line of coke, whiz fizz, and smack, and ice. Nunawading Primary's blind animal sacrifice. Papua New Guinea's ambassador to the criminals. Look out for the bald man with a wheelchair full of gold balls. Rotting grass, ripping ass. Lock in your coffin sides. I bought a massive cockroach for the JD Stove Center Wuss Bomber. Well, I was wandering around just blindly and all really aimlessly and that, and I was just lost in confusion. No future in sight, no nothing. Now, Box Hill Plaza, nothing was nothing but background noise and was just sort of disappearing into the distance like a stoned echo soundtrack. And I had gone on a heroin blitz, smoking, but not injecting. Well, not heroin, but just horse in the form of loads of Afghan poppies, dozens of burrowed Imperial Baltic porters, 15 dim sims from Oriental Hut, and 5 Slurpees from Box Hill 7-Eleven. I staggered past the people, wondering why the Box Hill Preservation Society had declared war on me and my family of gargoyles. What had I done to them? Why was I a target for violence and horror and domestic violence? I know I've done my fair share of bashings, vandalism, pig shooting, snot chopping, gnome crawling, blood splitting, truck sleeping, egocentric converting, mud flying, pie stinging, etc., etc. But I still sat in my usual oasis and everything. It didn't matter. I was away from the bogans, businessmen, and the wet beds. I sat in the corner of Wonton King, right deep in the corner, and mining my own deep pardons, brooding and brewing a gutful of killer gas. I ordered the combination of noodles from the Hot Kong Beasties and went to work on my usual booth in the far corner of this dim-lit joint, far away from the other night crawlers, all alone, isolated, special. An hour later, after wearing my headphones and wearing jeans, I wore my jeans into the ground, and then I started grunting and snorting my Chinese food up. I felt a bit better, like a Chinese dragon. Night had descended and the normal patrons had left. All I could do was sit right there in the chair, and I was listening to my recordings of myself doing burnouts on rotting mummified dingoes with the sound of Top Homo on the background, pretty much my favourite track of the time. All of a sudden, Casey Kasem or a Casey Kasem-like figure appeared to my left. I was getting late and the MSG was flowing through my veins. I thought I was seeing things, but the Asian man in the black Adidas tracksuit could not be avoided. There he was, for all of me to see. And he sat there, almost angrily, looking at his food. He had cold, distant eyes and a ridiculous bowl cut. He was wearing cheap loafers, which didn't match his tracksuit even a tiny bit. All of a sudden, he started saying, in all cracked up sort of English, through his sinister, disgusting eyes and his chopstick-holding mannerisms, he said to me, "You look like you need a best friend and ultimate fighting solution, man." I wasn't sure what to make of the offer, so I just turned my Walkman up to full bore. This bloke, he came down next and sat next to me, and he introduced himself as Wu Long, the leader of the infamous Jade Horse Gang. As he sat there in the some sort of kung fu tai chi trance, he told me countless stories of how he'd caught and executed animals, criminals, and ceremonial dolls in ancient gangs when he was just a tiny little boy in Taipei. And it was clear he was after action. and all he wanted was to do some serious damage on any scumbags he could practice his Taiwanese martial arts and killing skills on. Within 2 to 2.5 hours out the back of Wong Tong King's, we'd hatched a watertight, waterlogged plan worthy of a Nobel Grease Prize. The only catch, here's where the string were attached. He said that what he needed was an army of ninjas. I said, I can't help you with that. Kevin Hawthorne's ninja school had been on my bad side for a few months, and me and Kevin the Crow Killer had actually shared drinks at the Burr Vale a few times. I called him instantly and he agreed with the truth, to a truth, and he'd work with us to rid Box Hill of its preservation society. The only thing was going to preserve these guys now was their bulletproof Land Cruisers. Oh, what a feeling. The plan was simple. We'd found out the group was now known as the Box Hill Preservation Society, aka the Grey Stool Samples. We're having one of their meetings at the Masonic Lodge in Box Hill in the following Friday night. I had another war meeting with Wu Long, who gave me the bad news that the Jade Horse Gang had been recently imprisoned with illegal car parking and dragging on cigarettes for too long, sometimes up to 5 to 7 centimetres in a drag. He said it would be purely a speaking fight helper and would give me all the support needed to attack the Grey Stools during their meeting. We were set to meet Kevin and his ninjas in the car park in two of the designated disabled spaces. That was the rendezvous point beforehand, and storm the joint with nunchucks, ninja stars, and fifth civilian jury. Well, the moment came. We had to sneak past some real mafia-looking old men who seemed to be spotters. We had a few cans of Nunawading ale in the car park, probably 700 to 800 milliliters in all, and I ran through the plan in detail with Kevin's ninjas and Wu Long. It was a straightforward and gutsy plan. Me, I'd storm up the joint. They'd just run after me and would attack me head on. Wu Long convinced me to head drop from the ceiling with his Uzi and do some real meat murder. The testosterone was flowing through our nuts, and we were all donned our puffy fitted array of camo, pathetic ninja outfits made of skivvies and balaclavas, all second hand and all quite well made. I led the charge and started screaming. Kevin screams out, "Right behind you, salt runner!" And Wu Long ran up the staircase. I sprinted, kicking open the front door, screaming, "Rise and shine! Wake up, clueless dead men! You're gonna get razzled by my wooden fists and teeth!" About 20 grey-haired men looked back at me, completely startled. I stood there with my combat jacket underneath my bare chest, greased up, and my invisible balaclava covered by my Woody Allen face mask. I also made sure I was wearing my stunning fluoro bike shorts and massive Reebok pumps. I wanted to be nimble, wanted to be fast and greasy, because I had to outmaneuver them. At that moment, as I raised my hockey stick and sawn-off shotgun above the backpack I had on my front, containing dozens of dog blood bags, like a canine perverted suicide dog bomber, I was about to lunge forward and lead the charge of death ninjas and start another war chant. All of a sudden, Kevin stepped forward in an inappropriately relaxed manner, like he was giving a speech. He went on to say, "Gentlemen, I bring you my school of ninjas. Take a look at what we can do." I stopped and waited, thinking it was about to freak them out before they got pummeled. All of a sudden, Highway Corps by Rock and Roll Warriors came over the loudspeaker, and the ninja boy started to do a demonstration. As I stood there in my macabre outfit, Kevin Hawthorne did a presentation for his school, and the grey-haired scum high-fived and cheered crap out of themselves as a group of young nerds and overweight, middle-aged misfits did pathetic ninja rolls, smashing up thin wood with their heads, and they breakdanced. Well, I was outraged. Kevin had done it again. I'd been crossed by the idiot I was. Wu Long was nowhere to be seen. I found out later that he was in fact a full-time con man and was just a year 8 student from Kunan. Lesson learned. The thought that I was part of the show, and as Kevin's Ninja Losers handed out pamphlets, I walked out the door with my tail and dog's blood bags between my legs. The battle had been lost, but I was determined to win the war. Oh well, back to the drawing board and back to Wong Tong King for some MSG on ice. Better late than never. Better dead than Ivan Lendl. Rest in peace, piss.